Hey guys, it's Lucas. Welcome back to IDK, hosted by me. Today I have Jarrell with me. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey everybody, my name is Jarrell. I'm a yoga teacher out here in San Diego. Also a regular teacher. I am working on our credential for first grade with a specialist. So yeah, I've been doing that both for about 10 years now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were telling me off camera about, oh my God, why am I blanking right now? You were telling me about the retreat that you just did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to hear more about that.
Okay. So it would be a year now.
Yeah.
We did a inner child workshop retreat, which, took some while, took some planning, but we held it in Joshua Tree, and it was pretty cool because it actually had like at least like two of us, the hosts, were both queer, and black. Christy or Crede is the best, and she was the one who came up with the idea for the retreat, and then she asked me to help co-lead it with her, and it's cool because, you know, having two black queer yoga teachers leading a retreat probably doesn't happen that often in the world. No. So, and so it was just nice to have both of us who have worked together previously in different venues and different ventures. So we held the retreat in Joshua Tree, and then we had about another like four or five like queer people involved.
How many attendees did you have?
We had, I think it was 11 or 12 from what I remember.
And then was there like, was there a specific idea that the retreat was around?
So the idea was, at first it was going to be inner child workshop and retreat. So basically doing a lot of like meditation, yoga, mindfulness activities. I think we did like one crafting activity, bonding activities to kind of break ourselves out of, any type of trauma related to your inner child and just kind of connecting to that inner child space.
So for the listeners who are not familiar with inner child work, could you kind of talk about why it's important to do this kind of work, especially like as a queer person?
Yeah, just speaking from my own experience, I think that the it's really good to do inner child work as a whole, because what ends up happening is we neglect that part of ourselves so much. Yeah. And like the inner child is that little bit inside of you that makes and brings you joy, right? Like that, that piece of you that when you were a kid, you probably neglected, or, you know, the things that when you do those certain, like say you do an activity and like it's an activity you haven't done since you were a kid. You do the activity, it instantly brings back that memory and brings back joy, or you do an activity and it brings back pain and trauma. Right. And then a lot of us, we see the pain and trauma and we brush right over it, or we see the joy and we relish in it, but we don't really understand why it's important for us to really look at all of the surrounding moments. And so inner child work kind of pushes us to, hey, look at all of those big pieces, look at everything so that you can, you know, trauma doesn't go away, but so that you can understand how to like navigate through your trauma and your
process
life.
It, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. So what did you do specifically?
At the retreat, I helped with, I led two intentional classes.
Yeah.
Also did a mindfulness exercise. So, but I led two yoga classes, and instead of it being like, come, sweat, drip, pass out, which I'm like, I'm good for that every once in a while. I love it, you know, very Western, but, it was more so just like, I want you to sit down. I want you to breathe. I led you through guided breathing exercises. And then we did a lot of like animal play and movement styles. Cause I love doing handstands and stuff. And doing handstands is
what is animal play and movement? Like,
Like, usually in yoga, we end up mostly doing a lot of standing poses and like not like moving around your mat and off your mat so much. When I teach those type of classes, I teach us to not use our mat. I teach us to put the mat away. I want your hands touching the floor. I want you like kind of like hopping almost, like doing a lot of like different monkey movements, different like just engagements all in general, rather than being downward facing dog, three legged dog.
Yeah.
High lunge, which is, I love it. I love yoga postures as a whole, but I like people to break that norm and just be okay with general movement. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, a few days ago before this, and it was kind of talking about just kind of trying to practice living life as a yoga movement, right? Am I understanding right?
Yeah, it always talks, right? So, like, yoga shouldn't just be when I'm going to class and when I'm leaving class.
Yeah.
Which is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm like, for me to say that, like, I live my life in that way would be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But it is.
I feel like if you want to live your life that way, you got to be homeless. You have to have no possessions. You got to be homeless.
And it's like.
No, literally, I was like, damn, like, the Bhagavad Gita is really telling me right now to be homeless. Okay.
It'll tell you to shed some things. You're like, damn, that's me shedding everything.
How am I supposed to live in this modern
life? I'm supposed to be happy. Right. But, like, and then, so, like, but it's really just telling you, like, you know, it's every little bit is your lifestyle. So mm-hmm. every piece is connected to your breath, your movement, to how you exist on and off your mat. And yeah. It's so interesting. So I have some teachers that I say they live their life pretty close to that. They used to. I haven't seen them in a while or talked to them and checked in. But
yeah,
like, yeah. They, I mean, like they sold everything and they put their stuff in little bags and rolled out.
Wow.
And they travel the world and teach, and that's how they sustain themselves. But they don't have like. They, for the longest time, they didn't have a specific home.
Wow.
On the road.
Did they like it?
They loved it.
They loved it? Yeah.
They loved it. And then, like, now they have a place because it's easier. So, like, now they're back. I think one's back in Canada and the other one is in Colorado.
Wow.
And I think, like, now they're back to, like, having like, set places so people can come
and
work with them there.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Wow. I personally am not that... guy.
Yeah. No, that's not where I mean I want to try that in my life maybe once I get older, but not right now. I mean, I'm a be real, like I was it was an audiobook that I was listening to, the Bhagavad Gita, and I was like, damn, I need to try this, but like I can't, like, how are you supposed to incorporate this into like the modern like Western lifestyle? Like,
yeah, I was like, you know,
well, but
like,
then
doing
I was
little things too, but like even like,
well, so but it was also like kind of like classes too. It was like, if you're good in this life, you'll get like resuscitated into a better caste and like an aristocracy. And I was like, whoa, like I don't know about that.
It's definitely,
I don't know about all that, girl.
It's definitely like, it's definitely a levels to it type of situation. Which is you know, I think so, like I did my last big training that I did with those two people, and it was three people and a monk. And it was in Bali, and I did it for 6 weeks.
Wow.
I was in Bali for like 6 weeks. And it was amazing. Absolutely loved it. Right. But like, you know, one, I was the only queer black person there.
What is that like coming into the scene as a healer, as a queer black person?
Sometimes it's pretty hard because like, I'm queer, I'm black,
mm-hmm.
I'm not 110 pounds, I'm like 270.
Yeah.
And so I was instantly discounted. Literally one of the teachers from South Africa told me, he was like, I did not think he was going to make it to the training. And then he was like, then I saw you move the next day. And he was like, damn. And I had to shut my mouth. And I was like, yeah. Can I move better than you? And I was like, in my mind, I have to not be humble about some things because I'm just like, I have to work twice as hard as some people, and then have to be confident when going into these spaces because if you're not, some of those people's energy, like his, could have broke me, and I would have missed part of my training, right? And
so absolutely.
I think that is part of the training in and of itself too, with myself, is being able to go into the space and be able to like
be unapologetically yourself.
I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that is something I've really worked hard to create when I do walk into spaces
now. That's wonderful.
I want black people, queer people, people with bigger bodies, people with even smaller, because like a lot of like people who lift, people who are super small. Like, I want you to be able to come to class and feel comfortable and know like you don't have to do everything. I just want you to breathe. And if you're breathing, you're doing it. And then we'll add on little things to make things better for you.
How many classes do you have right now?
Oh my gosh. So at one point, when I first started teaching, I was teaching like 14 classes a week.
Wow.
Because I thought that that's what I was supposed to do.
14 classes a week?
And I was working full time.
At the same time?
At the same time. It was.
Wow. That's impressive.
It was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was a little ridiculous.
Oh my God.
It was a little ridiculous. Now I teach 3 classes a week.
Cool.
And I'm happier. I'm so happy.
I feel like you're probably more intentional, right?
Mm-hmm. I teach 3 classes a week. I teach 2 yin and heated yin deep stretch classes. So, like, in that class, I think it's like church. Tuesday and Thursday, we come to class, and everyone knows we sit in a circle, and it's, like, very chill, soulful music most of the time, like...
I remember during the demonstration when I met you.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost some always good music. Like always, always a nice playlist. Mm-hmm. I always want you to feel like you can, like, if you don't want to do any of the poses, because we hold poses for like 2 to 3 minutes, sometimes a little bit more depending on the pose and depending on what we're really trying to work towards.
Yeah.
But it's very chill, very intentional, very relaxed. And then on Saturdays is like my complete opposite class. I teach a heated power vinyasa class. And that's like the one class where I just kind of go in and we just like bang it out. And I love it. Still pretty chill music. For some reason, I can't change it now.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
I put on like one of my playlists from like 10 years ago, and I was like, bro, you were on some things. You had like Heads Will Roll in your class. Like, I was like, you do not play that type of music anymore, which is so interesting. Such a different, very different.
Well, I feel like when I go to the gym and work out really heavy, sometimes listening to something calmer just helps me get more into of a focused headspace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think I like it too, because like, I take a class that's before my class, and he's an amazing teacher, but like sometimes he'll throw on some really loud music, and like I am instantly pulled out of whatever I was doing, and I'm like. Mm-hmm. Like, looking around, kind of brave, trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
However, it works for him, the way he teaches. It works.
Of course.
It's really nice.
Of course.
So, another queer teacher.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's been teaching for, like, 20 years.
So, to go back to the retreat that you did,
mm-hmm.
I wanna hear more about that. What was the experience of the queer people that... I mean, I'm assuming it was queer people majorly who were...
It was a lot of queer people. It was a lot of... A lot of queer people, just was a mixture, I would say.
Yeah.
I think it felt nice for all of us to be there together.
Yeah.
Because it was a pretty intimate setup of the retreat. Like, the actual space that we all stayed in was really cool. It was, to try to describe it, so they were, like, small RVs.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, little school buses that were also turned into... like little rooms that people could stay in.
Yeah.
And then there was like a room inside the house, or the main house. And then there was like I want to say ashram, but no one would really know. I don't know how to describe that any better. An ashram is like a big giant tent that had like yoga mats and like gongs and bells and all this stuff that a lot of us stayed into. And it all just kind of, like, was built around a circle.
Yeah.
So it always, always felt connected, like, enclosed.
Yeah.
And so everybody, when you walked into the space, like, we set an intention when you walked into the space for all of us to feel connected. Like, no issues arose. I think it was actually
For the people who don't know what setting an intention is, could you...
So, like, setting an intention is... maybe you pick a word or a phrase or maybe a mantra. So like a mantra can be like any like specific set of words or even thoughts
mm-hmm.
that you want to continue to put energy towards, right? So like my intention for a lot of my classes is for people to just breathe. Personally, I love if you do every single posture that I say. That's cool. I think it's awesome if you're, you know, going above and beyond. But if I just see you breathing the entire time, then that's my intention.
Right? Isn't that what yoga comes down to at the end of the day? Just remaining present with your breath.
Right. And that's like the main limb, right?
Yeah.
Like, if there's anything else that you should do in yoga class, you should be breathing. And so, and so I think that that is something that I really do look forward to when I teach, is me setting that intention for people to come in, be okay, breathe, you're going to be all right. You don't have to do everything. You just got to breathe. Yeah.
So what did the other teachers, what were they teaching?
Oh my gosh. What did Crede do? Crede, so it was me and Crede who did the classes, and then we also had a vegan chef who made all of our meals.
Wow.
She really changed my life. she really went above and beyond. Yeah. Oh my God, her food was so good. Lo, if you hear this, just know we love you. yeah, I think, what did Crede do? Crede, she led a class, which was awesome, but she also did like some like sound healing. She did a sound healing workshop, which I'm not a sound healer. I don't necessarily like it. I think I just have sound aversion. I don't know why.
I get it. I have aversion to crystals too. I wear them, but like, I just, I don't know. Sometimes they just fall off or something. I'm just like, okay,
it's,
all right.
It's everything for me. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what is it? She led the workshop. She did a mindfulness like exercise. Yeah. We also like took some time to like journal, and she did like a journaling prompt for us to talk about the inner child workshop and like what that means, what that shows up like, what that looks like.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think she did a very good job of like setting it, and like what ended up happening was she had this large itinerary that she really wanted to plan, and then out of nowhere, like, inner child was like, sorry, girl, you can't use none of that. And she just was like, oh my God, like, I really had to go, like, we had to be okay with going with the flow and, like,
adjusting your plans to whatever happens.
Very much. Yeah. She's very much an Aries in that way. That's awesome. I love her for that.
So, you said you've been doing yoga for 10 years, right? Or teaching it?
I've been teaching for 10, practicing for 12.
So what first led you to get into yoga? And then I guess a follow-up question as well is, what led you to want to become a teacher?
Oh, that's a good story. Yeah. So I was like 300-something pounds, 330, 340. And I was in college, and I wanted to like lose weight, but I was like super annoyed with going into like our school gym.
Yeah.
At first, and I ended up loving that school gym. I ended up being there like every day. But at first, I completely hated it. And my best friend Brian had just started doing yoga, and at that time he was maybe like 100 pounds wet. Like, he was small, little Filipino. Yeah, little Filipino man. And I love him to bits and pieces, but he really, like, you know, he's small. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, come in yoga class with me, you'll have a great time. And I was like, for sure. Whatever. And so I go to this class. I'm thinking it's just about to be, like, stretching. And the teacher's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad to have you here. You're going to have such a good time. I'm like, sure, girl. And I get in the class, and, like, I'm telling you, she was whooping me down. By the time the end of the class came, I was, like, dehydrated, couldn't breathe. And I signed up for an unlimited membership that day, because I was like, there's no way I'm going to let yoga kick my ass like this.
Yeah.
And that was, like, that's exactly what I felt. I was like, I'm just not going to let yoga win. I can't do this. And that, because I was like, you know, I didn't know anything about yoga. All I knew was that I felt in competition. The moment I like left, I was like, I don't know who I'm in competition with, but I felt in competition. I felt like I needed to just do better. And it was something that I liked too, because I always like doing athletic things, which yoga can be very athletic. I always like doing athletic things, but I'm not an aggressive person. And so, like, I've never really had, like, an aggressive gene. Like, my dad would tell you, like, that was, like, the hardest part for me, like, when playing football and all that stuff. Like, I'm not an aggressive person. I'm, like, super gentle. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. And so I signed up for membership that day. I started going to maybe 3 or 4 classes a week.
Would you describe yoga as gentle?
It's Sometimes.
Right? Listen, I was there for your class, and no, by the end of it, I was like, oh my God. I mean, it felt good, but it was a workout. It was, yeah.
That was a day. Days.
Yeah.
I would say it's not always gentle. Definitely not, right?
Yeah.
Like the guy's class before my class,
mm-hmm.
I the words gentle could not be used to describe that. There's just no way. There's just no way. he's been teaching for so long, and it shows because he has students who've been with him for 15 years.
Wow.
From San Diego, and like they show up, and he is just ready to he's ready to move, and he's ready to get you to move, and there's no way to play around it. Now, for me, I would say it's, 50-50. Sometimes I'm pretty gentle. Sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you kind of, took us into it, and then, by the end, I was like, whoa.
There's always a rise. There's a rise and a fall.
Mm-hmm. But to continue your story about how you got into yoga.
So, yeah. So, I signed up that day, went to classes all the time, ended up... was lifting around the same time, too. So then I ended up dropping down to, 215 by the time, the end of the year came. And so I was, lifting, working out, doing yoga every day. And then I think it was one Saturday where the teacher, my first class, she came up to me and she was like, so I'll see you on Sunday. And I was like, girl, you know I don't come in on Sundays. It's, my one rest day. Still to this day, I don't do anything on Sundays. And... she's like, no, you're coming to teacher's training. And I was like, who has teacher's training money? She's like, I didn't ask for that. She's like, I know you'll be a great teacher and you need to come to the teacher's training. And I was like, oh my God. And so I went to teacher training and I got my certification. I think it was a year and a half after I started. Wow. And then, so I did that and then moved to San Diego.
You had a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to have her.
That's awesome.
Call me out on that. I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then two or three years later, I ended up moving to San Diego, and this guy named Daniel Rama, very popular Instagram yogi and really good teacher as a whole.
Yeah.
He was online, and he was like, I'm having a scholarship for my training in Bali. Apply. And I was like, I'll apply, but I probably won't get it. And then I got the scholarship, and it was like... I only had to pay $1,500 to go all the way to Bali.
Wow.
And get a training with him and the other people. Wow. And that was dope. That was so cool.
Was this the one that you were talking about earlier with the monk and everything?
Or mm-hmm.
What was that like?
That was a crazy experience. Having a monk teach you philosophy. And
what was that? What is that like?
It's really cool because we would read the exact sutras.
Sutras, could you define
so that? Sutras are I want to use good terminology for this. Sutras are life lessons or specific almost rules or guidances to live by.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be able to be used present, past, and future. They should always remain true. And for the most part, from what I can remember, every single one of them, they do apply to, now, till to today. And they've been around for a very, 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 very long time. And so it just was nice to have someone who would give us a sutra and then would be able to tell us a story in relation to that and would connect it to things that we're doing currently rather than just be like, all right, sutra one, sutra two, nine.
This is how teachers are like, this is how you're supposed to do y equals mx plus b, not explain
why. Yeah. And so he was able to give us these really cool stories and tie it into things.
Could you give us an example if you remember any?
I don't remember any off the top of my head. That was in it was in 2019, right before a pandemic.
Oh my God. Talk about trauma. the collective trauma that is COVID-19.
Yeah, I went straight to from 2019 and then went straight to.
How did that affect your teaching, your yoga? Did you have to go online?
I went online.
Wow. I went online. For how long?
I didn't last. I did not last. Absolutely hate Zoom. And I was really trying so hard.
What? Like, wait, what's wrong with Zoom? No, I hate Zoom. No, I hate it too. No.
I hate Zoom. And like, I felt super impersonal. And it was like, you know, I just got back from this really cool training where it was all in person. And like, everything was like, we're super connected. And I just gotten married. So I got back from training, got married.
COVID.
And then I had to move online, learn to be online, create a schedule for yoga to come. People come to classes online. And like, if the thing was annoying was like, if people didn't show up to your online class, you're still supposed to film and put the class up. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't going to do that. If no one showed up, I was going to hang up. But at the peak of it though, I would teach like one class and I think I made like $2,500 off one class.
It's not bad.
No.
It's not bad at all.
But then I ended up being found by Nike during the time.
Yeah.
So I was found by Nike during that time, and then I started doing some like brand work with them.
That's awesome.
Other than that, I don't like online things.
Makes sense.
I don't like it.
It's interesting because I'm gonna be so real. If I didn't have to be on social media, I wouldn't. I'm saying that as somebody who works on it, like scrolling through reels, I'm like, oh my god, I just lost 15 minutes and I'm watching some stupid reel about this like AI voice talking over some story. Like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what am I doing?
And I think so. It's like, you know, I lose a lot of time.
Yeah.
Doing stuff like that, and so I did not like it. I did not survive.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay. It's fine. You can still take class with me online, but not through like any Zoom or anything like that. So like I have through Nike, I filmed classes that are virtual that you can take. So that I liked because it was actual like, when I say it was like camera production crew, all this stuff, because it was like Nike doing it for them and their app.
Yeah.
That I That's liked. Nice. That was fun. Me filming it in my little studio room, talking about, hey, everybody, how have you been? That's good, girl. So nice to see you. I'm so glad we're all going to do this together. I hated that. I personally hated that.
Wait, you don't like talking to a camera?
It just felt so, like, I wanted to hear people breathe. I couldn't, people are muted on the other side. People have cameras off.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell if I'm in frame the entire time because it's Zoom.
It's true.
Yeah, there was a lot of issues that I had with that little time period.
Did COVID, besides the obvious impact to your classes, did it impact how you yourself do yoga? I feel like as a society, we're still kind of unpacking what COVID even was and kind of that year, 2 years of just weirdness and isolation. So
I can probably say that before COVID, I had a really good home practice. Like, yeah. I was like almost always practicing. Kind of hurts my heart to think about it. And like, I was like always practicing at home. I was doing things like in my home space.
Yeah.
And then now I am not that way.
It happens. No, that was my experience. Kind of the opposite. During COVID, I took up a yoga practice and a meditation practice, and then I...
Afterwards.
I don't... I need to, because my ADHD, it could she'll benefit. It would benefit from yoga. I feel like during COVID, like I'd be like, cause I was in the Dominican Republic for a few months and I'd just like, I'd meditate and I'd do my yoga and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm like so centered right now. Yeah, I'm so centered. And then like now I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, girl, I need my coffee. I need my coffee. I need my damn coffee.
I'm telling you, like, I was so good too. Like I had a handstand teacher that was, who I always wanted to train with, Miguel.
Yeah.
Miguel Santana is like world-renowned handstand teacher. And he was living in, I think he was in Australia at the time during COVID.
Yeah.
Either he's usually in Australia or Singapore or China. But he was in Australia, and I was like, are you doing online teaching? He's like, yeah, for sure. So I had to work. I worked with him, and yeah. I did handstand work every day and yoga work every single day. And then, you know, I like went through COVID, and COVID was dying down. My divorce was ramping up, and
and I feel like that sounds like a moment like that's not very grounding, you know. That doesn't
work. And I'm telling you, I was in a complete spiral.
Yeah,
and I just lost a lot of like touch with myself, and so you know I wasn't in touch. I moved to San Diego, and I was staying with one of my like high school best friends.
Yeah,
and. If he ever hears this, I love you to bits and pieces. You and your husband are great. Yeah. I will never live with you ever again. In order to maintain my friendship with you longer term, I would never let this happen to me. And so,
no, that's so real.
Mm,
so you know, yeah. Uh-huh. I resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. So I will never live with him ever again. And he was absolutely awesome, but... just, you know, he wanted to party a lot, and then I started wanting to party a lot, and I was like, and then there was no consistency, and then his husband was like, let's go to the gym, and he got me into the gym that I work at now, and so then I started working at Fit Athletic, which helped me bring some things into perspective, because yeah. Working at the gym has been this isn't even like a regular gym. It's actually like, I feel like I work at a yoga studio when I teach my classes there, which is nice. Cause awesome. If you ever go to like gym yoga, you know, it is gym yoga. It is exactly that. Teachers, we do try to make it feel like it isn't gym yoga. We try to make sure you feel like you're coming into an actual class.
Yeah.
But like, it's hard to do that.
What's the difference between gym yoga and just a yoga class?
Because it's, well, one, I think gym yoga is one definitely very westernized. It's meant to make you feel like you're going in there to work out and leave, and there's no sign in. People come in at all the damn time. Like, they just walk in whenever they want, and which is like, it's okay, but it's also very disruptive.
I think I would be really annoyed by that.
Yeah, super disruptive. when you have a student who comes in 15 minutes late.
Sorry, that would be me. No.
You're like, why are you fit? Like, you miss so much.
You missed the warm up. You
missed so much. And so there's just like certain things like you just have to think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think like working where I work now, which is like, you know, the gym athletic club, it's, you know, students show up on time. Students show up on time. Students sign up for class. We don't just teach vinyasa.
Yeah.
We teach everything. We teach yin. Yeah, we teach deep stretch classes. We teach Pilates fusion. We teach restorative yoga classes. We teach breathwork and mindfulness classes. We have the program is extensive and very expressive because you have teachers who are like myself who've been teaching for 10 years. You also have teachers who are like yoga therapists. Like they have like their full like yoga therapist license, which is really nice. Me, myself, I'm an EROYT 500, which is, if you want to be a teacher and you want to get, like, the most out of just teaching, yoga teaching, that's the highest one you want to get. And then the next, like, training or certification is yoga therapy, which is, like, 1,000 hours. And that, the 1,000-hour training really works on you getting, like, learning specific body parts and how to heal those specific body parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So... I like it, but I'm really glad. I'm glad COVID's over in that way.
So for people who want to start getting into yoga, what do you feel like a good place to start would be? Just to show up at a class?
I think when I first started teaching, I would say show up at a class. I don't say that now.
What do you say?
I say go online and like do a little bit of research, even if it's just on Instagram.
There's many different types of yoga, mm-hmm. too, right?
That's why I say do a little bit, because what ends up happening is people come to this Heated Power Vinyasa class, and it's their first class.
Yeah.
Because that's the class that shows up the most on it. Almost anywhere you go, that's the class that's probably going to show up the most. Or, like,
yeah.
Hot Vinyasa or Hot Yoga. Like, those classes show up the most because that's what people want in Western society, right? Look it up. Take some time.
Why do people want that in Western society? Is it not as, like, I mean, is there a lot of chakra work? There's not a lot of chakra work incorporated with that, is it? Is no. There? It's safe, just, isn't it?
It's safe. You just get to go right in, do your yoga, you do your movement, and then you're done. Rather as,
so,
like...
So boring.
Yeah. Right? Instead of, like, there's no, like, there's not, like, any check-in with you being mindful. There's no check-in with you being connected. There's no check-in with you breathing and moving.
It feels like corporatized wellness.
It is. Oh. It's exactly that. It's like, yeah. Like, that's like the first yoga class I took in San Diego, because yeah. I was like, I don't want to go to class. I want to go to class when I first moved out here. And I went to a core power yoga class. That is the most corporate of all corporate classes that you could ever go to.
So then if somebody's looking to actually do energetic work and get their chakras flowing, what type of class?
I say, you know, look at your yoga, like local yoga studios, or like look at some of the teachers that you follow. Most of the teachers that you follow will have a way for you to take classes with them.
Yeah.
Or like if you see a teacher that you liked online, look at different ways for you to take classes with us.
Awesome.
And then reach out. I mean, I feel like all yoga teachers are pretty responsive on like, yeah. in any way.
Absolutely.
And so do that. Look online, kind of figure that out. And then if you want to go into an actual yoga studio, I would look online, because I would say maybe look at a local yoga studio. They usually have different descriptions of their classes online. And then, like, I would say Hatha is very good to take. Yin is a very good style of yoga to take for your first couple times. If you want to do something that is kind of, like, more physical, but you still want to have connection to breath, Ashtanga is very good to take.
Yeah.
You will be tight and tired. But it's a pretty rigorous practice, but it's like it's repetition. So, and people like that. The repetition helps you get into like a consistent breath work and mindfulness state. So wonderful. I would say Hatha, Yin, Ashtanga, and then Vinyasa.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to take classes with you, how can they find you?
Right now I'm still on the Nike Training Club, the NTC app online, which is all free.
Yeah.
You can take classes with me. You can take class with like, I think there's like 100 other teachers on there, and we're all like certified like with Nike. So they're all really filmed in high, like nice classes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really nice. If
but if they're looking for you, like, what's your Instagram and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Jereal Flow. JERREAL _ Flow. FLOW.
Awesome.
You can take class with me on the NTC app. You can type in my name and find me there. You can also find me on Netflix. I think I have 2 classes on Netflix right now. And if you just type in Flow Yoga or Feel Good Yoga and just scroll through, you'll find me there.
Awesome. And then for the locals out here in San Diego, you said, where are you teaching classes right now?
I teach classes at Fit Athletic, and I teach at all the Fits, but mostly the East Village one, awesome. Which is, I would say it's the gayest one. There's a bunch of us there. It's so nice. It's so nice, but it's a super queer space. I love it. So you can come to a class with me there. I'm actually going to be hosting a Pride event there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so it's all going to give back to... What's the foundation that starts with a T?
Oh, girl. I don't know. Wait, is it that... The queer foundation that
helps out with youth and LGBT.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tyler something. Is it Tyler?
I think it's Tyler.
I don't know.
Well, all I know is what I do know. All of the money and proceeds for the
event.
Are
we even gay? How do we not know?
It happens so fast. Also early in the morning.
I know. No, my coffee's still kicking in.
She's still doing it. But it's a foundation that basically gives back and supports LGBTQIA and plus youth.
So I guess an exit question that I want to ask for you is, for Black queer youth who are looking to get into you, who are looking to get in these spaces, like, I mean, what would you say to yourself, you know, 12 years ago as you were starting to get into this?
I would say it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I would actually say it's probably the best that you feel a little bit uncomfortable and just continue to move and do and be in that space, because your discomfort is going to produce the biggest amount of growth.
Yeah.
I was afraid a lot of the time going into those spaces. But if I had just left and never gone back, I wouldn't be where I am now. And so I would say, that's my biggest takeaway is do it. Like, do it. Just go through it. Do it on and off the mat. You'll be okay.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. This is this has been I Don't Know, hosted by me. And, if you guys want to find him, your Instagram is?
Jereal Flow. JERREAL _ flow.
It's the way you have that. Well, thank you for holding space for me. And have a wonderful day wherever you're at. Yeah. Thank you for watching. Bye.
Bye.